I want to start with three questions. Question number one, who here likes raisins? Like raisins? I got good news for you. I got raisins. Here, have some raisins. There you go, back there. There, raisins, raisins. All right, we got raisins. We got raisins coming out of our ears. All right, raisins, raisins, raisins. Oh, look out. A nice catch, Ange. Raisins, John. Oh, interception. Oh, nice. Oh, a little curveball back there. Don't eat them just yet. Hold on to them. You can crack them open and smell them if you want. Just hold on to them for a few minutes. Okay, second question. Who here would like to have complete joy in your life? All right, good. I'm glad you asked. All right, third question. How many of you would like to have God grant you all your wishes? Some of you are thinking, you don't know what I'm wishing. But believe it or not, God wants those things for you. He doesn't necessarily want you to have raisins. I'll get to that in a minute. But he does want you to have complete joy in your life. And he even wants to grant your wishes. Some of you are probably thinking, where is this going? Name it and claim it. Power of positive thinking. Your best life now. Great, Jeff leaves for one Sunday and Steve dies into some God's a genie in a bottle mess, right? Well, let me assure you that those suspicions could not be further from the truth. I am the last person who would stand up here and tell you that God wants to give you a big house and a fancy car and everything your flesh can imagine. But what God's been showing me lately is that he wants to give you what you could never imagine. Turn with me to John chapter 15. Jesus is talking to his disciples on the evening of the Last Supper. It's his last conversation with them before he's arrested and put to death. Listen to what he says in John 15 in verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Now jump down to verse 11. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Your joy can be complete and whatever you wish can be given you? Did Jesus really say that? Well, he did say those things, but he said each of those things after he said a very tiny but very powerful word, the word if. Let's look back up to verse 7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. So God will give me all my wishes, grant all my wishes, if I remain in Jesus, and his words remain in me. Okay, so what exactly does that mean? Well, let's back up a little bit and look at the bigger picture of what Jesus is saying. And those of you who've opened up your Bibles probably know, come on, he's just cherry-picking verses out of this thing. But it is always important when studying God's Word to look at the context of what's being said. A verse like this can be particularly dangerous out of context. See, Jesus wants me to just make a wish. He'll give me everything I ask for. So let's back up to the very beginning of John 15. As I mentioned, this is the evening of the Last Supper. And we're picking up this conversation very late in the evening, near the end of it. Jesus has already washed his disciples' feet. He's eaten bread and wine with them. He's told them he's leaving. He's promised the Holy Spirit will come after he leaves. He's already predicted that Peter would deny him. And Judas Iscariot has already left the room to go betray Jesus. So now Jesus tells those who are still with him how important it is that they stay with him. Let's listen to what he says. John 15, 1. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I love how Jesus uses this imagery of vines. First of all, he and his disciples had just finished sharing wine together, right? But secondly, grapes were a very common crop in first century Palestine. The climate there is almost identical to the climate here. We have grapes all over the place here. Drive down to Lodi, they're everywhere. So Jesus' disciples had surely spent plenty of time walking around, past, even through vineyards like these. And they knew well that all the branches and all these vines draw their sustenance from the soil through the main vine. If a branch somehow is severed from that main vine, it'll wither and die because it's getting no nutrients. In the same way, if the disciples are cut off from Jesus, they'll wither and die. Now, Jesus makes this much clearer as he continues. And he also makes it clear that he's talking not only about the 11 guys in the room with him that night. Let's read on, picking up at John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So when Jesus talks about remaining in him as the key to having our wishes granted, he's talking about more than just believing in him. And James tells us that even the demons believe in him, and they shudder. Remaining in him means being like grapevines. See how these grapes are bearing fruit? The only reason they're alive and flourishing and bearing fruit is because they are attached to that main vine, the stalk there. That's where all the nutrients are coming from. We need to be attached to Jesus in the same way, in constant fellowship with him, constantly praying to him, studying his word, relying on him, drawing all of our sustenance and our strength and our nourishment from him. As F.F. Bruce put it, remaining in him means deriving our life from him. Jesus wants us to be so reliant on him, so surrendered to him, so filled with him, what's coming through that stock into us, that we can say what Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When we're living that way, it only makes sense that the Father would give us whatever we ask for. When we're that plugged in to Jesus, to his heart, to his will, at that point, what we're asking for is exactly what Jesus is asking for. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 37:4. Among other things, it's a verse that God has proven and fulfilled in my life over and over again. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. At first, I read that verse sort of backwards. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, yeah, and delight yourself in him, whatever that means. But after meditating on that verse, God helped me to flip it over and see it frontward or right side up or however you want to say it, the way he intended it. Delight yourself in the Lord, and then he'll give you the desires of your heart. Once I finally got that, I started with delighting in him, just worshiping him, loving him, seeking his will. And then, funny thing happened. The desires of my heart started changing. I started wanting what he wanted. And the things I thought I wanted before weren't all that attractive anymore. I'm far from perfect. But that's what Jesus is getting at when he says in John 15, if you remain in me, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be given you. Okay, so we know what it means to remain in him, but how do we remain in him? Well, here comes the fun part. This is the heart of what I've been so excited to share with you guys this week. How do we remain in him? One word, one glorious, delightful word in the English language. Obedience. Isn't that a fun word? Yes. But seriously, that's what God has been showing me this summer. The joy of obedience. And that's exactly what Jesus here in John 15 says is the key to remaining in him, the key to getting everything we wish for and having complete joy. Let's read on in John 15, picking it up in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do what I command. Another one of those fun words, huh? We see Jesus is saying it all comes down to obedience. You may be thinking, how'd that happen? We were having fun here. We were talking about wishes being granted and having complete joy. How do we get down to obedience? Well, if you're scoring at home, here's how. Jesus said, in order to have your wishes granted and live with complete joy, remain in me. In order to remain in me and in my love, obey my commands. And wait, it gets better. To obey my commands, love each other. In order to love each other, die for each other. So when you put it all together, if you want to have joy, all you have to do is obey and die. So come on and get aboard this train. Sounds fun, huh? Actually, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It sounds ridiculous because it's God's wisdom. And it runs completely counter to man's wisdom. Lay down my life for someone? I can't even lay down my hamburger for someone. I really ought to help that little old lady push her car out of the intersection, but I'd have to put down my burger and somebody might take it. I don't know. It cracks me up, and yet it's frightening sometimes to see how we cling to self-satisfaction. I think we cling to it because we know it really well. We know what feels good to us. We can feel it. We can see it. We can taste it. Just like those raisins, most of you have, right? Maybe you can feel it. They wouldn't hit you in the head, too. But we can see those. You can even smell them. If I said, all right, give me the raisins back and I'll give you something else. You don't know if I'm going to give you a juicy ribeye steak or if I'm going to give you a paperclip or a donkey or something worthless to you. What you do know, especially if your stomach's growling right now, is you'd probably rather have those raisins than a paperclip. So there's a good chance you might just say, I'll take the raisins and forget what's behind door number 3. Now, raisins are not the greatest food in the world, right? I don't know anybody who says, it's my favorite food. Yes, raisins. But the self-satisfaction that we cling to isn't all that great either. What God showed me this summer on our mission trip to Mexico is that I've been clinging to raisins for a long time. And for a long time, God has been trying to offer me something so much better, so much more. He's been gently saying, I know you think your raisins are tasty, but come see what I have for you. I have so much more in store for you. It's juicy. It's succulent. It's good for you. But to take hold of what he's offering, We have to let go of what we know. I knew that I really wanted to take my own kids to Disneyland this summer. Not necessarily take somebody else's kids to Tijuana. I knew I didn't want to be responsible for 14 people, 3 rental cars, thousands of dollars, and 1 very real threat of Montezuma's revenge. But God made it clear that he wanted us to go to Mexico. I obeyed. And man, oh man, did I experience the joy of obedience. I experienced the joy of watching a 14-year-old girl single-handedly lead an old man to Christ. I experienced the joy of watching a frightened 16-year-old give an altar call that led some 20 children to Christ. I experienced the joy of watching previously lukewarm teenagers fall headlong into a love affair with Jesus. And we all experienced the joy of obedience on that trip, especially on the last day. Our assignment that last day in Tijuana was to ask God to show us what to do, how he wanted us to spend our last few hours there. I was so proud of the students because they wanted to go to the soccer field where earlier in the week we'd had a blast playing with the local kids. But they said, you know what? I think that'd be too much fun. I think it'd be too easy. I think God wants us to stretch more. Well, as it happens, we prayed together, and the Lord gave 3 of the girls the very clear impression that he wanted us to go back, not to the soccer field, but to the old folks' home, which was by far the least fun place we had visited that week. It had been the smells there were overwhelming. They hit you like a wall as we cleaned soiled beds and couldn't clean the soiled mattresses we had to put new linens on. It had also been heartbreaking sitting and talking with and crying with and praying with old people who lived in constant pain and had no family to take care of them. It had been especially painful for the one girl who, shocking news, had gotten the strongest word from the Lord that we were supposed to go back there that day. Through tears, she said, I can't go back there. I can't. But if I don't go back there, I'll never be able to live with myself. So we went back there. The girls cried all the way there. But when we got there, God rewarded them with an amazingly wonderful, joyful time of laughing and singing with these beautiful old ladies who rejoiced in their salvation and rejoiced that God had sent them such wonderful visitors. When it was time to go, I couldn't get those girls out of that place. They held hands with their new best friends and they cried, knowing that they'd never see each other again until we meet in heaven. We all sobbed as we left that old folks' home. But this time, they were tears of inexpressible joy. We had given God our raisins, and he'd given us not even a batch of juicy grapes. He had given us a feast. We never dreamed God would stretch us that far, and we never ever dreamed that he would reward us so richly. Inexpressible the amount of joy we felt leaving that place that day. I'm convinced God wants to give you a feast. He wants to give you complete joy. He said it himself. But you got to let go of your raisins. I've got to let go of more raisins. I keep accumulating them. It's amazing how we do that. And it's really hard to let go of our raisins. Our raisins, the self-satisfaction that we can see, feel, and taste right now, right here, that's like our monkey trap. You guys ever seen a monkey trap? It's an amazing thing. To catch a monkey, all you have to do is somehow attach a coconut to a tree. You cut a hole in the coconut just big enough for a monkey to squeeze its hand through. And then you put some sweet nuts inside. A monkey will smell those nuts. It'll reach inside the coconut, grab them, and it won't let go. The monkey can't pull its clenched fist out of that tiny little hole. It won't let go of those nuts. A monkey will sit there and die. Or it'll sit there until the trapper comes back, sedates it, and sends it off to some zoo. The monkey can only think about the sweets that are in his hand. He can't see that letting go of them will set him free. And we're that way with self, aren't we? Letting go of myself will set me free. Jesus talked about it much earlier in his ministry. Luke 9:23 and 24. Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." If you want complete joy, lose your life for Jesus. What does that look like for you specifically? I don't know. That's between you and God. Ask him, what have I been refusing to let go of? What in my life is keeping me from loving others with that self-sacrificial love? What is keeping me from sharing the gospel with others? You know, maybe your box of raisins is your pride. Or like me, it's my image of myself as the likable guy who never says anything that might bring rejection. That's a box of raisins I need to let go of. We may still face rejection. It won't necessarily be fun, but it will bring joy. When Paul and Barnabas were in Pisidian Antioch, they spent 2 weeks there preaching the gospel. And by the end of their time there, the religious leaders stirred up the people. And they stirred up all this persecution against them to the point that they were expelled from the entire region. And Paul and Barnabas left that region, shaking the dust off their feet. And then Luke, the author of Acts, tells us they left there filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. I'm sure it wasn't fun getting kicked out of that place, but in their hearts, they had joy. We so often think of joy as being tied to our outward circumstances, don't we? But our joy is from within, from the peace that God can give us. I mean, no one's a better example of having joy despite wickedly painful outward circumstances than Jesus himself. I mean, the excruciating pain he experienced for hours and hours being whipped and hanging on that cross. And he knew it was going to be painful. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed and wept and said, "Father, if there's any way, please take this cup from me. But not my will. Your will be done." And the author of Hebrews tells us the reason Jesus endured the cross, for the joy set before him. He's the author and perfecter of our faith who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. He knew there was joy on the other side of that pain. So, let go of those raisins. Again, you may experience pain, but you will experience joy. The joy of obedience, which is a feast, especially compared to those pathetic little raisins we tend to cling to. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We thank you that you love us more than we could ever imagine, and that you want to bless us beyond what we'll ever imagine. Lord, we ask that you would help us to cling to you, to remain in you. Please reveal to us, God, what our raisins are, what we're clinging to, what's keeping us from taking hold of what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.